311.
Good afternoon and welcome to yet another 311 radio show. I am so happy that you are here with us today. Yet another Sunday. I am your host for today, Senior Fire Life and Safety Officer Andrew Taylor. And once again, I am really happy that you chose to be with us here today and share in this show. Firstly, I hope that everyone had a wonderful Independence Day, that some of you woke up early and watched the parade and enjoyed the parade, everything that was offered. And I also hope that, you know, people who actually got the day off from work, that you got some rest and some time to spend with family and friends, and you're all ready and rearing to go for yet another week. And yes, we are fully now into the month of December. And you know, for us, for most Barbadians, that means full holiday season mode. Yes, we do incorporate Independence into our holiday season of sorts, but it somehow seems that people tend to wait until December 1st to fully let loose and be in that full holiday season mode of operation. So I'm just going to start us off with some stats as usual. That's how I like to start this show, because I always like to keep people informed and updated with what is going on in terms of fire activity in Barbados, because, you know, it is important for all of us to know what is going on and, of course, how to keep ourselves safe and prevent any incidents there of fire happening. So we are still, and I'm very happy to say this, we are still trending downwards in terms of our fire activity. So for the year so far, we've only recorded 933 fires. It is still a large amount, but we will take it from what it was last year, which is 1154. So we are at 933 so far for the year, compared to 1154 for the corresponding period in 2021. No, of course, I am sorry to report that our house fires are still above what they were last year. So for 2021, for this period, we were at 61 house fires, and now we are at 66. Okay, so that's 61 house fires for this period, 2021, compared to 66 so far for this year. But we are happy to report that our rubbish fires are down. And we always tend to speak of our rubbish fires as nuisance fires. Okay, and when we say nuisance, on many levels, because nuisance in terms of how they affect your neighbors. Okay, so imagine you just did an entire load of laundry, and you're about to hang your clothes outside and get them all nice and dry for the day or the week ahead. And then someone just starts to, as we say in Barbados, burn some stuff. And of course, now your entire laundry day is spoiled, because you're not going to hang those clothes outside, because obviously by the time they're even dry, they will be have all the smell of smoke inside of them, the scent of smoke inside of them. So they're a nuisance from that point. They're also a nuisance for persons with respiratory issues, because imagine someone is just burning, say, let's say some plastic or something containing rubber, okay? And you're just burning those items basically all day, because sometimes when we hear about these fires are burning for hours on end, okay? And so just imagine someone, I say, with asthma or some other respiratory issue, and they're basically inhaling those fumes all day. No, that's not going to end well for them. And you even hear some people say that they had to leave their homes. And it's unfortunate that I have to leave the comfort of my home because my neighbor decides that he or she, you know, they're going to burn some stuff and make me uncomfortable. And most of the time, as I've seen in a lot of cases of rubbish fires, the items that people burn, they're items that can go into the regular trash. Okay, toilet paper rolls, sometimes clothing, Okay, as I said, the plastics in terms of ice cream containers, okay, egg crates, some of these, all these things can go into the regular garbage. But people just decide, hey, I'm going to create a nice little pile in my backyard. I'm going to light it. And whenever it goes out, it goes out. And sometimes some of these things are actually damp because they leave them outside in the elements until it's dry enough in their mind to burn. And of course, now when they light this stuff, it's going to smoke excessively because sometimes the underneath or the bottom side of the pile is still wet or damp. And so then you have this excessive white smoke just billowing through the neighborhood and causing people a lot of distress. And also it's a nuisance environmentally because, as I said, these people are burning plastics, sometimes they're burning rubber, metals, and all of these things can damage our environment. Okay, so that's why we always tend to refer to rubbish fires as nuisance fires. Okay, but as I said, we are happy to state that they are down because we are at 286 for the year, and this is compared to 436 for the same period last year. So that's 286 so far this year compared to 436 for the same period last year. However, grass fires are up slightly, so they are now at 374 for the year compared to 355 last year. So that's 374 grass fires for the year compared to 355 for the same period last year. But we are happy to report once again that our commercial building fires are down. So we had 17 of those fires last year, and we are now at 8 for the year so far. And we are hoping, and as I say, keeping our fingers crossed that it will stay at 8. Obviously, you've heard us on this show say that one is one too many, but at 8, we are still happy with that number compared to 17, as I said, for 2021. Now, statistically, some people actually think that we normally have a lot of house fires in December, and even in terms of, you know, as we say, people are rushing around and doing all types of things, preparing for Christmas. And what always amazes us is that people do so much running around and are so basically so careless for one day. You know, it's not like it's a continued practice throughout the year, you know, and it just baffles us that people will risk life and limb, basically how they drive around sometimes or how they move around the home for this one day. You know, a lot of people see it as a special day, and of course I understand from that point of view, but sometimes it's almost like as if they take away the significance of the day. With all that they're doing, because you hear so many reports of people saying that they were so tired that they didn't even know when the day came and went along. Okay, so we're just trying to remind people to, you know, take it easy. We want everyone to be able to enjoy the holiday season and spend it in their own home, okay, and with family. So we just need everyone to take it easy, you know, slow down. You can still get things done, even if you have to leave home a little earlier. It doesn't make any sense. The stores are going to be open later, so you don't have to rush as much, especially on the streets. Okay, so just take it easy, slow down, and let us all have a nice, peaceful, and safe holiday season. Okay, so just to show a comparison for the month of December over the years. So in 2018, we recorded 93 fires for the entire month of December. That's 93. And those fires consisted of 9 house fires, 9 house fires, 18 grass fires, and 43 rubbish fires in 2018. Okay, so out of all those fires, there were only actually 9 house fires. Okay, so for 2019, we had 97, so an increase in the overall fires, but a reduction in house fires going from 9 to 3. Okay, so yes, we had an increase in overall fire activity for the month of December in 2019, but we had a reduction in house fires going from 9 to 3. Now, in 2020, a further reduction, a big drop actually, going from 97 to 45 fires overall in December of 2020, and only recording one house fire, as I see here on my stat sheet. Okay, so from 97 to 45 in 2020, but we have seen an increase in 2021 with overall for the month of December, 110 fires in 2021 with 8 house fires. Okay, so we want to keep those numbers down. The same way we had only one, as I saw here on the sheet in 2020, we want to repeat. Actually, no, we don't want to repeat. We want to beat that record by having 0 house fires in December for 2022. Okay, so all the past years we had 9 and 3 and 8 last year. We want to push and have 0 house fires for December this year. So let that be the challenge. That is our holiday challenge from the fire service to everyone out there, that we are aiming for no house fires for the month of December. And of course, we'll be keeping tabs to make sure that everyone is trying to win this challenge, because at the end of the day, winning that challenge means that no one is out of a home, no one has to start from scratch, no one has to look to rebuild their lives, no one is out on the street, no one is homeless. Okay, there's no trauma, because there's a lot of trauma connected to house fires. We've had conversations with house fire victims, and a lady that she had a house fire when she was in her 20s, and this lady is now in her 60s. And when she relayed the story to me, it was still painful, going back and reliving the loss of her home, all of her possessions. So, things, people sometimes say that time heals all wounds. That's a little ticklish area there, because clearly, all these years on, and still the thought of that house fire still brought that lady so much pain. Okay, even just relaying her story of what happened to us. So we just want to make sure that as I said earlier, that all of our memories and all of our activities are joyful and peaceful, and we make good memories for this holiday season 2022. And just to give you a breakdown of the fires by parish. Okay, so for the year so far, Christchurch has recorded 199 fires, St. Andrew 27, St. George 79, St. James 37, St. John 102, St. Joseph 11, St. Lucy 34, St. Michael 194, St. Peter 33, St. Philip 175, and St. Thomas 35. So we can still see our usual our usual front runners, unfortunately, as we call them here. St. Philip with 175, St. Michael with 194, and Christchurch with 199. And as I've said before, we are paying very, very close attention to the parish of Christchurch, because before, even though Christchurch will have fires, especially because it's a well-developed parish, lots of housing in and commercial activity in Christchurch, but we still do not see the type of numbers that we are seeing now. So we are paying very close attention to Christchurch, and we have been doing as Division Officer Small mentioned in last week's show. A number of hazard analyses have been ongoing, okay, and truly trying to find out what is happening in these areas that we are seeing these increases in fire activity. All right, so as I said, Christchurch leading with 199 recorded fires, followed by St. Michael, 194, and St. Philip, 175. So, stats aside, and I hope everyone understood everything that was said concerning the stats. So stats aside, people, business owners especially, are still calling in and asking about inspections and the process, because some people still seem to be a bit confused with the process and what goes on and what needs to be done. Okay, so our process is very simple, actually. So firstly, you go to our website, fireservice.gov.bb. Okay, and as soon as you open our website, you're going to see a tab or a heading. It's going to mark inspection. Once you click on that tab, it's going to give you a drop-down box or a form. And you click on that form and you start to fill the inspection form, the inspection application form that should be. Right at the top, you're going to see business reference number. What we normally do is tell people to ignore that for the time being and just continue to fill your form, because not putting that in is not going to stop you from submitting the form. And that's something that we can work out at a later date when we generate the application in our system. Okay, so fill the form with as much information as possible. Sometimes people send the forms and they're very sparse in terms of information. We need the information to keep building our databases going forward. So putting as much information as possible, especially owner of business, owner of building, people ask us where we ask all of that, simply because, yes, you may be the owner of the business, but not the owner of the building. So if something happens, we still need to know who is responsible for the building in itself, because you're only really responsible for your space in the building, okay? So fill the form and submit it. The website also gives you the ability to check our fees, okay? Our fees order, our new fees order. So you can easily look there and see what you would be required to pay. All right, and you just, you can either use the EasyPay platform, which is the government's platform, and you can really pay for a whole set of services on that platform. It's really easy to use. If you don't have the app, you can just download the app and simply pay via the EasyPay platform. Or if you prefer the old style, you can come here to our offices at the fifth level of the General Post Office Cheapside and make your payment for your inspection. Now, we normally ask people to apply for your inspection about 6 weeks in advance. And even though 6 weeks seems long, by the time we actually gather the information, put it into our database and assign it to an inspector, sometimes the time starts to move on, or you say drift away. And I will say, I can say boldly, that it does not take 6 weeks for our inspectors to get out to you. If that happens, trust me, something went wrong somewhere in the system. Okay, because most of the time, as soon as you send in your application, within maybe a week, 2 weeks, an inspector is basically at your business or contacting you to set up or arrange that inspection. And just also reminding business owners that inspectors do not have to call to say that they're coming. It is normally a courtesy that we extend to our clients. But under the law, as long as the business is open, so anytime between opening hours, we can come onto the premises and do the inspection, because really and truly, you should always be in a state of readiness. So if we come anytime without even calling, you should be in a state that you do not have to worry about if you're going to pass or fail your inspection, because you should be in a state of readiness. Because as I said, when it comes to fire safety, you're dealing with people's lives. So you should have your extinguishers checked. You should have your smoke detectors checked and make sure the batteries are in them, they're working and everything. You should make sure that your exits are not blocked and they are free from all obstructions. All of these things are things that you should be checking on a daily basis. Okay, you should make sure that No one has the emergency access. It's locked or blocked. Okay, and everyone can have a free passage out. Okay, and you should also make sure that there's not too much stock in your store, especially around this holiday season. We know that a lot of stock is coming in, and people are going to be trying to, you know, get as much sales as many sales as possible. But also, you have to be careful because then storage. So then you have your stock out on the main floor, blocking passages again. People now have to work around boxes and other things that may be on the floor. And, you know, we're not trying to, as I said, not trying to stop anyone from making money. But at the end of the day, safety is our priority. We want everyone to shop and spend and sell in safety at the end of the day. And that's all that we're aiming for. So, and also the same thing for the burn permit process. Once again, go online, you're going to see the tab. And once you click on that tab, the burn permit form comes up. You basically fill it. It comes here to us. We will then review it. An inspector will go to the site and state if it's safe to burn. So if you have piles of let's say, you cleared a lot of trees and stuff like that, we'll make sure that it's safe to burn, that you won't be affecting your neighbors who are downwind. And then we go ahead and let you come in and pay for your burn permit, and then you are free to burn. Now, most permits are a single burn, okay, and we only allow farmers, registered farmers, ready to have what we'll call like a commercial permit, but that still only lasts for 1 year. After that, you have to reapply for your burn permit if you want to keep burning. Because we know that as farmers, you will keep generating things that need to be burned, and so you will still have to reapply for your fresh burn permit as the year turns or as your anniversary date expires. Basically, people ask why, because things can change. So we might have given you a burn permit for, let's say, burning 8 mounds of grass. And you know, you may now have 15 mounds of grass that you want to burn. And obviously, we don't know that. So 8 mounds of grass might have been safe in our eyes, but 15 might not be. So that's why we need to always have a look again, just to make sure that things are still the same way, that you're not putting things inside of the mounds that are not supposed to be in there. And we just need to, you know, make our checks to make sure that everyone is doing what they are supposed to doing, and that you're still having a consideration for your neighbors and keeping everyone, including yourself, safe. So, as I said, we are fully into the holiday season, and I know that people are already buying up things. You know, you're seeing people walking with their Christmas trees and decorations and everything already. So people are in full swing when it comes to their added things, their added decorations and tidbits for the holiday season. So just some safety tips. Okay, so in terms of the lights, make sure that you get good quality lights, okay, to put in and around your home. We know that a lot of specials are going to be out there. So someone may be offering you three boxes of lights for $20. Okay, yes, the deal sounds good, but make sure at the end of the day that you don't create a bonfire. Okay, yes, make sure you don't create a bonfire with those specials, because yes, they may sound good, but you don't know really the quality that you're getting. Also, make sure that if you want to have lights outdoors, make sure that that box says outdoor lights. Okay. I know some say indoor or outdoor. Personally, if you're going to be stringing lights outside of your home, you really need to ensure that they're outdoor lights, because the insulation on the wiring for the outdoor lights is going to be a little thicker than those are the indoor lights. Okay, so there's a reason why they're outdoor and indoor. So you don't want to be getting caught up in the gimmicks of indoor slash outdoor and putting what really should be inside, outside. And then, of course, they're exposed to the elements. And we all know that water and electricity do not mix. And then you have yourself a problem. Also, we always speak about it, overloading the circuits, okay? Getting extension cords and running all through the house, even over to your neighbor's home. So we want you to refrain from those practices. Also, make sure you keep checking your electrical cords for breaks. Okay, or if you feel them and you feel that those little hard knocks and stuff, especially your extension cords, because you know, plenty of times on this show, we keep telling people that extension cords are temporary, for temporary use. Then you're not supposed to have an extension cord for 5-6 years and keep using it. They were not designed for that, for temporary use. And obviously people have them basically in use for an entire day and they just keep using them all over and over and over and over. So the use is constant and they weren't designed for that sort of load. Okay. Also, running cords under your carpet. So you buy the new carpet, you know, to make the house look nice. And obviously you want the aesthetics to be up there. So you run your cords under your carpet. Of course, you are still stepping and walking all over these cords, and you never know when those cords are going to get a break. And of course, your carpet, flammable material, you only need a spark. And as I keep saying, it only takes 5 minutes for a house to be completely engulfed, and basically near 10 minutes or even less for a wall structure to be gutted on the inside, basically. Okay, so just imagine all of the new carpet and everything, the new living room suite, dining room set that you bought, you know, all those things, they're being made from different material these days. Okay, and most of these things now have a base with plastic or petroleum products. Okay, is basically base for building some of these things. So they're extremely flammable. And what would take 10 minutes to burn back in, say, the 80s or early 90s, literally only takes seconds to burn now in 2022. So just be cautious in whatever you do. As I said, don't run those wires under the carpet because you have no idea what is going on underneath there as you traverse across your floor every single day. And also, the wreaths that people hang on doors, some of them actually have lights within them. Okay, and you will see that people actually run the cords either through the door jamb or under the door, something like that. Obviously, when you open and close the door, that wire is being squeezed all the time, okay, which can also cause a break. And then once you get that break, then you can obviously get a spark somewhere going there. And then we have issues. So once again, just be safe. Obviously, during this month of December, basically every show we'll be bringing tips of how to stay safe throughout the holiday season. You know, obviously we will go from fire safety also to road safety. And we won't just be sticking with the fire safety itself, but we will definitely have a lot of information for you in terms of how to stay safe, what to do, okay, so that we all have, as I said before, a peaceful and safe holiday season and that everyone will reach 2023 in one piece. So I've said a lot. but I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us once again for the 311 radio show. I want everyone to have a wonderful, safe, and productive week. And as we always end the show by saying, fire prevention is our intention. Do have a wonderful afternoon. Protecting life and property. Call 311. Promoting fire safety. Call 311. Enforcing safety standards.
You can depend on the Barbados Fire Service, 311.